Thank you, Mr. President. At the outset, my delegation wishes to join the previous speakers in congratulating you on your assumption of the presidency of the conference. I'm confident that your leadership will ably guide our work and discussion here. Mr. President, the Republic of Korea acknowledges the strong importance of the amended Protocol 2 as the only international legal instrument that covers all types of mines and other devices, and which also duly considers specific security needs within the context of national defense. At this point, in light of the unique security environment on the Korean Peninsula, the Republic of Korea is not able to accede to the Ottawa Convention. However, we are indeed fully aware of the problems associated with mines and are committed to mitigating the broader suffering caused by these weapons. To these ends, ROK has continued to exercise tight control over anti-personnel mines and has been enforcing an indefinite extension of the moratorium on their export since 1997. In addition, the Republic of Korea put forward legislation and promulgated the Special Act on Mine Victim Assistance last year, which covers assistance without any legal prescription for mine victims having been affected over the past 60 years. Importantly, it demonstrates the Korean government's continuing strong commitment to address the humanitarian consequences of mines. The Republic of Korea has been also contributing to mine action projects worldwide. For the past two decades, we have made total contribution of more than $9 million to mine clearance and victim assistance through various multilateral channels, including the UN Voluntary Trust Fund for Assistance in Mine Action and the International Trust Fund for Demining and Mine Victim Assistance. In this regard, we will continue to cooperate with other donor countries, international organizations, and civil society for more effective and better coordinated mine action. Mr. President, the Republic of Korea is concerned about the fact that improvised explosive devices continue to be a source of great concern. In this context, we appreciate the fact that we had a very extensive and lively discussion on this issue during the expert meeting for this protocol last April. As UNMAS just reported, IEDs undermine the capacity of the UN's mandate to protect civilians and carry out its humanitarian mission. Specifically, as an example, we see that IEDs represent the largest explosive hazard affecting civilians in Afghanistan, and the use of IEDs is on the rise in northern Iraq, as well as some countries in Africa. Additionally, we recognize the reality that at least 90 countries are affected by IEDs, and that this creates negative impacts within the social, economic, and political context, as well as on the broader humanitarian and security agenda. To be clear, we attach great importance to the UN Security Council's adoption of resolutions regarding appropriate national measures and cooperative efforts to prevent terrorists from obtaining, handling, storing, using, or seeking access to all types of explosives, as well as raw materials and components that can be used to manufacture IEDs. In this vein, we fully support the ongoing information exchange on techniques, measures, and best practices to address challenges posed by IEDs and look forward to a more substantive and action-oriented discussion on this issue in the coming year. Mr. President, last but not least, it is noteworthy that a number of countries severely affected by IEDs have yet to accede to the AP2. We would like to highlight that those countries need to be encouraged and assisted in joining the AP2 in order to help them better counter IEDs. Along these lines, my delegation once again reasserts its unwavering commitment to the universalization of the protocol and assure you of its full support and cooperation to achieve this goal. I thank you, Mr. President.